On the 40th day after the resurrection, the Lord God, Jesus Christ, in his risen and glorious body, ascended into heaven, where he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Now that day was, historically speaking, last Thursday. But the bishops of Australia, some decades ago, decided to transfer this feast to the nearest Sunday. As a consequence, this year's Solemnity of Our Lady Help of Christians has been bumped onto Monday. So we have a domino effect here. Although the when of our Lord's ascension is now problematic, the what is not, or at least it should not be so. This reference to the right hand of God the Father could be viewed by a skeptic as problematic, because God the Father has no right hand, or left hand, at that matter. In fact, God the Father has no body. Not a nobody, for he is the big somebody, but devoid of mere matter, being the perfect uncreated spiritual being. So obviously, the language of right hand is metaphorical for one who shares equal authority or power. As when the boss says to the man here, he's my right-hand man. He can do the job equally. So that's the reference, and that's the understanding. More importantly, one should ask ourselves on this solemnity why Christ returned to heaven. After all, there was much to be done in the infantile church. Were not more miracles needed and inspirational preaching to draw the multitudes? Just imagine how many people would have come from far and wide to see the risen Lord. One must admit that the sudden appearance of a glorious body would have been most captivating. So why did not the good Lord stay on earth for a few more decades? We could attempt to answer this question with these four following points. 1. Christ returned to heaven because his mission was accomplished, while ours has begun. Don't forget, the name of God's Son was Jesus, which means Saviour, or He has saved. That was the ultimate purpose of His existence while on earth, to save us from our sins. At the age of 33, after much suffering, dying and rising, all was accomplished. 2. A round peg goes in a round hole. It's where it belongs. Christ's glorious body did not belong here anymore. Remember, it wasn't just a resurrected body like Lazarus, but one imbued with four glorious qualities: impassibility, unable to suffer pain, no need of food or drink. Subtility, the spirit dominates over matter, can change his appearance. Agility, the ability to move at whim, wherever. Wouldn't we like that? Clarity, glowing from within. No, the body ought not to be here. It warranted a place of glory. 3. Sequential effect. It was only after the return of the second person of the Blessed Trinity that the third person would come. Although it's true that all persons of our triune God are involved in the manifestation of divine power, we, mere mortals, tend to itemize their diverse roles: God the Father, God the Redeemer, and God the Sanctifier. Christ himself said that unless I return, the Spirit will not come. It was the Holy Spirit's work of sanctification that had to be begun in the church. We'll hear more about that next week on Pentecost Sunday. Fourth, this reason is very personal. With the Lord's departure, he promised to prepare us a place in heaven. In other words, he is saying with his going, don't forget that is where you truly belong, heaven, not here. So we are reminded on this Feast of the Ascension not to be too comfortable here and now, not to be so well settled that going there, dying in heaven, becomes an ordeal. Remember, that is our true homeland. We are meant to be restless until we rest there, not here. So they're the four reasons why our Lord ascended unto heaven. They were told he went up into the sky or the heavens. But what does that really mean? If you speak to children and say, where is heaven? They'll look upward. Yet we all know that heaven is not up in the sky. It's more than the sky. It's more than what we can see or imagine. Always remember that heaven is not so much a place, but a space. A spiritual space where angels and our souls will dwell. One of the main problems with regards heaven is that our images or ideas have been fashioned by the media, films and so forth. So much so that we tend to think about heaven as a place among the clouds where these fat little angels are playing harps or violins and so forth. Well, I don't think that is true to type. It is a childish perspective that can lead in some people's minds to dismay or even disinterest. For that reason, C.S. Lewis, in his Christian masterpiece, Mere Christianity, in chapter 3, when he talks about hope and wanting to bolster hope, this is during the war, dispels certain thinking regarding heaven. He says, all this scriptural imagery of harps and crowns and gold is, of course, a merely symbolic attempt to express the inexpressible. Musical instruments are mentioned because they, for many people, not all, music is the thing known in the present life, which most strongly suggests ecstasy in an infinity. Crowns are mentioned to suggest the fact that those who are united with God in eternity share his splendor and power and joy. Gold is mentioned to suggest the timelessness of heaven, for gold does not rust, and the preciousness of it. So we are presently in the womb of the world and awaiting our birth unto eternity. Now once upon a time we dwelt in our mother's womb, all of us did, and there we had all our physical needs met. If by chance we were cognitive of our environment then, we may have thought, that is presuming an unborn child, the womb does think, that this is all there is. I have nutrition, food, hydration, water, secure surroundings, comfortable here, and so on. But we could not have imagined life otherwise. At that stage, it was all we had, and we thought that was all there was. But how wrong we were. All was revealed when we were born, and what a shock that was for everyone. Well, maybe, just maybe, when our time here transpires and we cross over, we're born into eternity where every joy is found and perfect happiness exists. Perhaps then too, it might be somewhat shocking. Hopefully not too shocking, but rather astonishing. When all is unveiled, and there and then we shall see him as he is.